submitted to us or has been entrusted to us. We started last week on, do you consider your job a stewardship? And we're trying to apply certain principles. We look at certain principles that the Bible talks about concerning our job. When you look again, that we looked last week at Ephesians chapter 6, begin with verse 5, here it explains the relationship of the employer and the employee, even though the terms used in this would be near a time of slavery or that which was those who were enslaved. But the principles still apply. And in a sense, if you take a man's money, then, okay, you're enslaved to that as far as that, you know, that you'll do what he says to do because of that relationship. It says, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart and to Christ, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Again, this relationship of the eye as an employee, and I'm pleasing who? Even though I please those who I'm working for, the most important person that I am to please in this relationship is to whom? To God. So we always need to keep that in mind, that if we're a true steward, and the job will be one place that we show this, our stewardship. And we'll look at that more. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to man. Knowing that whatever good thing anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And when you look at Philemon, you see this word, when you look at Philemon's verse 16, no longer a slave. It's the same thing as a bond servant. It's just a slave. During the time of slavery that you had an owner who had control of you. And so it's in that sense that it is used. But again, Ephesians deals with in sincerity of heart. If someone is sincere, what are they?
Trustworthy,
okay.
Faithful.
There'd be a number of things you can apply. Mine that I looked at, you're sincere in what you do, okay? The idea, when it talks about not with eye service as men pleasers. And looking at this definition of men pleasers, it carries with it the idea, a thought of a hypocrite. Are you a hypocrite on your job? That you do those things when certain people are around to make you look like you're doing something, when in reality, when they leave, you turn into a hypocrite. And that's the idea that he says, you're to be sincere, genuine in what you do. When people's there that needs to be there, when they're not there. Because who is always present there? God, okay? So that's the idea there. And that's kind of where we began last week, and we asked the question, what hinders us from viewing our work as a stewardship? As well as some things that should motivate us to honor the stewardship that has been given. And all of us, again, have dealt with jobs that's not particularly we enjoy. I know no one that I've ever talked to, and you may not know, that's ever had a job they truly enjoy. There may be some, but normally you do not like, if I could do something, if I could just have this job, or, you know, but that's not always, you can do that. So you have to take at the time maybe what you got. I always reminded of a song Johnny Cash used to sing about a boss named Oney. One of these days, Oney's going to get his. You know, because he was there when he clocked in, and he was late, and he kind of rolled him up, and just, well, what do you think a boss is for? Do you have concern that as a steward, you're always on time? I know things happen. Don't get me wrong. But your attitude is, well, if I'm 5 minutes late, what does it matter? As long as I'm punched in 5 after, it don't count. Is that good stewardship? And if someone holds you to that, the boss says, then all of a sudden, you know, he's going to get his. Well, that's the attitude we should have. And I'm sure that we all deal with things like that, our particular bosses, so on, that it's not always the best. But on the job, you have mostly, if you work with Christians, that's a great plus. But very few do. Maybe one, maybe none most of the time. You're not involved around Christians on the job. And so it's easy because of you're the minority on a job as a Christian and as a steward, you do not have the support and stuff that you should have. So you're dealing with people who are lazy. They won't do what they need to do. Their mindset is worldly. I deal with people in Michigan, and from women, some of the words when they're talking comes out, it's unreal. But they're over you. And you've got to deal with it. And it's not something easy to deal with. And when you look at, as we talked about, the workforce and the mindset that people may think everything's owed to them. Genesis 3 tells us that in the sweat of your brow, you are to work. And that's almost seemingly forgot, but that's why God designed man over his creation, to sweat and to work. But again, it's just, you know, a job's too hard, you quit. And Garrett, I know, can go through, in driving a truck, we go through, people come over, he's got 4 pages to list the job that they've had. It's unreal. That I don't like it, I'll just go somewhere else. And so you deal with this. And it's almost like, you know, the government's going to take care of us. We've got people letting the government take care of us. And you have some of the laziest and most slothful, unproductive creatures on earth today. And I'm sure it's always been like that to some degree. But there was a time when in America, people worked and provided for their family. And so, because of being morally minded and not caring a lot for the job, it may lead to other things such as robbing or stealing, a lack of dedication that you want to do. And so that's one of the negative things about the workplace. Yes?
Excuse me for interrupting, but I want to say thank you to all of the congregation that Brother Baumgartner asked me if I needed any help, and I said, yes, I needed some men help. And he said, tomorrow night we'll have 3 men at 6:30. Well, guess how many showed up? 7. I thought I was having an invasion.
Mind you.
So I
there's your statement. Had a mind to work, I guess. And that's good, and that's what we should have. So that's one of the things that hinders stewardship on the job. Again, that we mentioned, another may be unfulfilling work. It's, you know, it's not something that we enjoy, and that times have changed. We come out, they talk these classes they have, that the workforce has changed so much today that young people seeking a job because you've not got enough people working will tell you what they want. And you'll hire them on their conditions, not on your conditions, if you're going to get work. And so you have that application. And again, if I don't like a particular job, I'll not do my best. And we understand that. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 22 and 23, again, it's kind of like Paul told in Ephesians, bond servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. It didn't say if you got a job that you like, do it heartily. It says if you work, whatever you do that heartily. And again, this word heartily would cover a number of meanings, but one that I come up with, you do it thoroughly. And all things that you do, whether you like the job or not, you do it complete, as pleasing God and not man. And so we are to obey those over us on the job, except with the exception of Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, when it interferes with God's word. Matthew 5 verse 16 says, let your light so shine before man. Well, where is that light to shine? In every place that I come in contact with men. And so we're to be examples to that. We're to accept the responsibility of unwanted tasks and certain things I may not enjoy doing. But I'm going to accept that as doing it to the Lord. And I do that task thoroughly. And if I don't do that, if I don't have a work, sometimes it keeps me just to do mediocre work. I halfway do the job that is set before me. And that happens a lot. And I'm sure you, if you, on your jobs that you have, you've seen people, that's how they do a job. Just kind of to get by, say that they've done it. And not completely as doing it to the Lord. Again, why? Because we may have unfulfilling work, should we do that job other than pleasing God thoroughly or heartily?
Say that again, I didn't understand.
Why? Because we have, say, an unfulfilling job or a task that is set before us. Why should we do that job heartily? I'm not saying in relation so that God may know what we're doing, but what's another reason that we should do it other than pleasing God?
Because we're being paid for. That's our job.
Right, you're being paid for it?
What influence are we having on others if we're supposed to be set apart?
Huh?
What are we showing?
If they see you like them, and you tell them that you are what?
Christian.
What are they going to tell you?
You're no different than I am.
You're no different than I am. And so the influence of that to those, show those around that as a child of God, you accept all responsibility, regardless what it is, good or bad.
See, I hear that comment, you wouldn't believe how many times a day, where I work, certain people claim to be Christian, and I hear the comment from co-workers all the time, yeah, and she's such a Christian.
Yep.
And I hear that a lot. Not from me.
But we mentioned, again, it's something, you know, it's probably at one time or another in all of our, especially those who have worked, that we have done what we shouldn't have done. Okay?
I think any time that you profess to be a Christian and somebody sees you do something that you're not supposed to do, I don't care if it's once a year, somebody's going to say something.
You may have checked in late. You may have said something about your boss that others have heard. And I say, if you claim that you've never done that in your lifetime, then you've probably got another sin in your life for life. Because it's easy to do. Now, don't get me wrong, it's very easy to do the complaints. Or if somebody says something about somebody, you say, yeah, I agree with that. Well, you may as well have said it, even though, or done it, because you have said what that person or what you feel. And again, it's something that's hard in the workplace. Especially another problem being that unfulfilling work in the workplace. That it's not really what you want to do. You just die and rapping all the time. Any thoughts on that? We'll turn to Luke chapter 17. We have another principle here involved as far as work is that people fail, or we may fail to apply to our life. As the question is asked of the apostles to Christ about increasing their faith, he said to them, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Then he goes on with this, says, and which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he has done the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which were commanded you, we need to look at ourselves how? Now how would that apply to the workplace? He talks about those things that were commanded you. When you do those things that were commanded you. Well, the workplace is one thing that God commands. That we'll do those things. And we're not looking for the pat on the back. He says that was just simply your obligation as a steward to do those things. Okay? And so, when you look at this, another one I come up with, hindered by a lack of respect in the workplace. And I'm not saying we all like say, Ray, that's a great job. Mac, that's a good job. Boy, that's a good job. I'm not dealing with that. What about when the person, your boss, that you don't have no respect for?
Well,
Do I give that person the respect that he deserves because that's what I have been commanded to do? Or do I not? And again, it's that it will all work with bad bosses. But stewardship on the job still demands I show proper respect regardless of what that person does. Because I'm not trying to please him, but I am to please God who showed me the principles of what stewardship is. God never approves disrespectful behavior. Disrespectful behavior is always wrong. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, let as many bond servants as are under the yoke, that is under, if you will, place work, under the job relationship, kept their own masters worthy of all honor. It don't say a good master. It just says a master, a boss. You count him worthy of all honor, so that the name of the Lord and the doctrine may not be blasphemed. Again, has this been displayed in our life as a steward on the job? And again, it may be hard to respect my boss because of his character, but that don't give you a license to be disrespectful. We still show that respect. Worldly-minded people show disrespect, contempt to those who have authority over them. If you work with those individuals, you see it each day. And again, it's something we do not need to let our minds be filled with. That the principle in 1 Timothy 6, that we're to show those over us all honor, regardless of their character. And again, it's something hard to do. Any thoughts? Another would be we're hindered by sinful practices. Many people allow their discouragement, complacency to elevate the practices that are sinful in the eyes of the Lord. When you turn to Titus chapter 2, and what leads to this discouragement, complacency to elevate in the workplace? Titus 2 and verse 9, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. And Donnie dealt with this, the idea of answering back to people. You see it in children. You ever go to Walmart and just want to take a switch and where a kid just constantly talking back. Do you do that question when you're told something on the job? But what's Titus saying here? Not answering back. Do all things to be obedient to the master, to be well pleasing in all things that he tells you to do, your master, your employer, and don't answer back. Now, I'm not having reference to that you may ask him what's the best way to do this. There's a difference in that do a man when he worked at United Parcel told to do something, he said, what's the best way to do this? That's not the idea.
The idea of being argumentative.
And I had that overnight there, I would say, why would we do it? Like I said, this is how you do something, move something. And they would say, have we ever tried this way? And I said, well, go ahead and try it. You soon learned, if you've done it long enough, the best way to do it, they learn that way. But they wouldn't say, I'm not going to do it. But as Ray talked about, to be argumentative on it. In verse 10, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn themselves, may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Who may adorn themselves? That person who is told to do the job. It's not having reference to the people. Again, the idea that you don't speak back, you don't question. It should be something that's taught in the home. You don't question the authority of that. We should not pilfer. Some versions may use the word purloin. In other words, taking something without permission for my own personal use. And it's easy to do. I don't care what it is, it's not limited to. Says in don't take this or that. He just says, you don't take nothing. Good stewards work in loyalty to the company that hired them. And they can, with that, at the end of the week, whenever pay time comes, accept that check knowing that they have done what they needed to do to earn that check. And their conscience likewise will show that they'll say, I had to back up to get my check because I didn't do nothing all week with my back turned to the person I work for. The thought on this, and what if stealing one little thing cost us our stewardship and we entered into eternity as such a person? So again, a lot is involved in stewardship on the job. Another one is, your name will be associated with who you are. You ever talk about somebody everybody knows in common and reference is made to that person about something that he is? Are you talking about so-and-so, that lying thing? I've heard that so many times, it's unreal.
Charlie
Patton. Yeah. Titus chapter 1, verse 12. There it says in verse 12, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Man, what a name to carry around. But your name, if your people that you work for, I don't care if the people that work, what are they going to associate Ray Hayes on his job? How are they going to associate his work with him? Someone that does it hardly, thoroughly, regardless of what it is, that he's different from everybody else, or that I'm different from everybody else. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name is better than riches. So you're going to be associated with who you are. And people of the world are going to see who you are. So when you associate the name Christian with Mark Hopkins, and the two don't go together, then the Christian is not going to fit who Mark is. It might be a liar. It might be a glutton. But it's what your work, that people see, that's who they're going to associate that you are. Am I not the only one who will accept my responsibilities and do them? We need to remember, it's Nehemiah's words in Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, that the people had a mind to work. When you're on the job, you're there to work. Whatever it may be the time, 8 hours, 12 hours, 10 hours, you're there to work. You'll be there on time. We do not need to look for someone else to do the job. If there is work to be done, a good steward does it. Proverbs chapter 20. Again, principles that we learn about this. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during the harvest and have nothing. I'm reminded every time I read this verse of a little old cartoon of that old hillbilly. One was a hard worker. He was raised during the summer, all this stuff. The other one still worked during a complete age and played his fiddle and sang to his dog. And here come wintertime and here comes the old man and his dog. He would stay there and the guy would feed him. Then when springtime come, person who'd done all the labor, he said, well, it's time to start another crop. And they go back on the report and start singing again. The lazy man. And that's America today.
Proverbs calls them a sluggard too, don't
yeah. they? Proverbs 19 and verse 15. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. Laziness casts one into deep sleep. An idle person will suffer hunger. Again, Genesis chapter 3, by the sweat of your brow. If you labor, you'll never go hungry. We need to always keep that in mind. Again, don't run away when there's work to be done. In closing this, always remember all good things come from God. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says that we will be thankful for all that we have. And that includes your job, whether you like it or not. That we are to be thankful. And on your job, you may never climb no higher than just a common laborer. That happens a lot. Luke 16, verse 11 says that we will do all things as unto the Lord. Whatever your position on the job is, you do it as unto the Lord. Whether it's a boss, manager, whatever, you will do it as unto the Lord. Any thoughts on that anyone has?
I got one. There's one job, and you did not mention it. You and Keith, and they may be others that's here, and that's the job of a war in a military. How thankful that people ought to be that you are under commands to do things that you would not want to do, but for servants of freedom that we have to be able to assemble here and worship God in freedom is one reason that we do that. And to me, it's the main reason.
Jobs carry off. You mentioned that, and all from the military to policemen. You just name it. It's still a job. There's still a certain protocol, if you will, by God's word, that you are to work, whatever job it may be. Whether it's protecting this, protecting the county, whatever it is. The applications, the principles, does not change. In all those, you have good, you have bad. Some you're exposed to more filth than maybe others. But again, God's principles does not change. Anything else? The next one we'll look at is stewardship of money or material things. Some time back, I don't know how long it's been, this commercial used to run. He would show this individual showing what all he had got in life, all these pools and cars and homes. And he says, and I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. That's America today. Children are what they are today because that's what they've seen in their parents, mainly. And they've not been taught. We'll teach them everything else except good stewardship concerning money. In James 1, verse 17, James says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything we receive today comes from God. All material things, everything that we have comes from God. All that we claim is ours is not. It belongs to God. And again, we started this class with misconception. We have this misconception that it's something I've earned and it's mine. We tried to stress, you need to look at it from a different viewpoint. There's nothing that you have in this life is yours. Even though your very soul, your spirit, is going to return to God who gave it to you. And He's going to determine its final destination. You have no control over that whatsoever. We need to always keep that in mind. If a parent gave a child money for a college education, would that child be thankful for his parents for the long, hard savings that they had worked for? Or if he or she blew the money on foolish spending, not placing any value on what was given them, would you consider that child a good steward of what was given them? People have no day a concept of the money that's given to them, of how hard someone may have worked. I remember Daddy always made, if you bring a penny back, if he give you a quarter and it cost 24 cents, you had to give that penny back to him. He had a value because he went through the Great Depression of what the value of money was. But people, they'll throw a penny down and think no more of it than anything. Well, there's a penny in my pocket and I don't need it. Or a dollar. There's no value on nothing. They don't consider the hard work that made where I'm at today, how did I get there? The older folks can relate to that. He was with a great work ethic and a value placed upon working that our parents earned what they earned. And it was not something they had any access to. They were very limited in things. But today, it's not so. God has blessed us with little or an abundance of material things. Regardless of what has been given you, you're still to be a good steward, whether you have a lot or little. You're not to abuse the little that you have or the lot. Again, that God has given us instructions from His Word on how we are to be managers of the things that He has blessed us with. There's a great problem in the world today. It's indebtedness. Almost anybody you talk to is indebted somewhere. Very few In America, they can claim what they have. They owe nobody. Federal government's indebted. State government's indebted. Local government's indebted. The home's indebted to someone. We owe somebody. Why? We have never placed no value on nothing. Watch this. Yeah, we'll just simply print more money. Not realizing the repercussion from that as it goes, as they keep printing, keep printing, keep printing. That's that. None are being good managers of what God has placed under their care. And there's an epidemic going on today of debt lovers. People love to be in debt. You say, no, no, no. Well, just tell me what you owe and how you got there. And what you got. Dave Ramsey made a statement, you give me your checkbook and let me look at it and I'll tell you where your values are at. It's what you spend your money on. Well, what's the downside of that if I spend this money on things that I want? What's the downside of that? Well, what's the principles of the Bible concerning how I am to use my resources that God has blessed me with? What's the priorities that is placed there first? Before the first car is ever bought, or the first home is ever bought. Do I look at those priorities first? Again, the first principle of good stewardship is to avoid debt. When you turn to Proverbs chapter 15, and verse 27. It says, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. How does one who is greedy for gain, how does that trouble one's home?
Put you in a situation where you can't afford to
use
your needs.
All right. Greatest argument between man and wife is finances.
All right. We'll look at that too. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. He says this is vanity. You're not going to be satisfied with silver. You just want more. You continue the thing of wanting more. Colossians 3 and verse 5. You have a principle here that says, therefore put to death the members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. That greed to have something. Paul says you put it to death. Take no thought of that. You're focusing upon the wrong thing when everything we focus upon is what I gain in this life. Paul says you put to death in your members that thought. Well, what are we to focus upon? The principles that comes first, according to God as a steward, with that which He has given us. Again, being greedy for gain produces a lot of things. It produces going in debt. As Mike mentioned, it puts burdens on marriages. A new survey came out showing that now the number one reason for divorce is debt that is incurred and the burden that it places upon the home. Young married women or young mothers are forced to leave the place that God said you stay there, and that's what you do. Because of indebtedness. That only ended up in divorce. Because that was not the place that God designed her, the woman to be, the wife. It was in the home, caring for the children, teaching the children, guiding the home. And so it places that when we do not use the principles that God has given us, as far as the money we earn, what is to be done first? There seems to be those who love to take on debt for the simple reason of pleasure. They will go into debt for vacation. Don't have the money, charge it. I know people that so much use their paychecks that they'll get a credit card to go buy groceries because of stuff like this. And that home is never going to survive. It's just the idea you only live once in life. So you go for the gusto. To pacify children, Buy them something. Charge it. Want a new entertainment center? No money? Charge it. You put anything in that list you want to. If they want it, they don't have the money, they'll charge it. And the saying goes, and I'm a million debt up to my eyeballs. Of no way, other than selling everything that you've got and trying to pay off that enormous debt or bankruptcy. And folks, when that happens, you have no care for stewardship over your money, and we're not teaching our children that, that's what it produces. And so we have children today who are in debt. Whatever I want to go do, just charge it. This attitude towards money will lead us to be choked by our bills, thereby limiting, if not eliminating, what we give upon the first day of the week. During the quarter, I'll pitch the thing, but I'm going on vacation Monday. Is that stewardship of what God has given us? We must have a firm understanding of why we are here. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, again, our failure to understand why we're here. We're to do God's bidding as stewards over all that He has placed us over. In Luke 12 and verse 19, this describes the attitude of most people today. And we'll close. And I will say to you, my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And that explains the world's condition and even many Christians today. And we fail to realize what we have, these goods, is not ours. Any thoughts?